Welcome to the More Than Words podcast, y'all. We are the aunties of inclusion. I am Liz.
And I'm Shara.
I'm
So,
excited to see you, Shara. I missed you so much.
yes, I miss you so much too. You called me and gave me that little short conversation. I was feeling very much so less than. I said, wait a minute, how's she gonna call me and give me this less than 5 minute conversation
I
and be
did. I know.
busy in my day?
I'm sorry. I was like, hey, Sharon, how you doing? You all right? All right, cool. All right, we're good. We're good. We're good. I feel like the 75 days of January are enough for me. Now, I've reached my 70. I need a vacation. I need a 3 to 4 month like hiatus. I'm done. I'm done. I'm done. And I think a lot of people are done too.
Yes.
Because you know, Shara, you and I, especially you, like you have definitely told us in 20, I can't even remember what year it is, in the 2022, all of 20, I know, all of 2023, you told us we are burnt out, y'all. The pandemic is still here. And I'm like, yeah, I mean, it is, right? But like, what do you mean, Shara? No, I see it. I'm there. I'm there now. It is. I think
Yes.
everyone is feeling the burnt out of the burnt out. It's like
Yes.
overly burnt out.
Yes.
So,
Just
yeah.
imagine if I asked you, what were you doing in 2021? If you can't, you're like, what year was that? And what was I doing? If you
That's
can't tell
17
me.
years ago.
Yeah. So what were you doing in 2022? Can't
No.
differentiate the years? You might be have just
You
had
came over. We had a Liz and Shara. You came over. I remember that.
Yeah, sure. Could have happened. You know, we're not 100% sure. I bet you have to ask the calendar. Okay. So that's what I'm saying. Collectively, we have been running at warp speed through all these past years, trying to navigate it all. But guess what? Where's your sleep? Where's your restoration? But listen, y'all should have been on that phone call. Just 2 seconds. Let me digress. Liz was talking so fast. I swear to goodness, I was like, I think she called yesterday, but I was not sure. I had to look at my phone records because it was so quick. Just so y'all know, me and Liz, we try to catch up and have a good little conversation, see how things is going. But when she do that fast call, you gotta check because she talking like this. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Hey, good? Oh, yeah. Oh yeah, I'm gonna tell you
Like,
something.
you good? You good? You good? You all right? Right? I got him. I got him. I'm ready. I'm
Yeah.
ready.
And then she'll tell you something so fast that you'll be like, so remember when you told me that thing? Can you just explain everything that you said? Because I don't remember. So anyway, we're hoping that you are finding your restoration and that you're recognizing that this is collective burnout. You're not alone. We're in it together. And guess what? Pass the baton. If you don't have the energy now, pass the baton. Let people know what you need and get back in the game when you get your rest. I know a
Yes.
weekend is coming up somewhere, so it's a good opportunity to tell people no, set some boundaries, and
Day
just
100 of January. But you know what, Sharon? Let's I'm sorry. Yes. And
go.
you know what? And thank you, Sharon, so much for being my hermana, for being my sis, for being my support during this time. Like it has definitely like it does not go unappreciated because I love you and I'm so glad that we're doing this together. But I want to hop into our wonderful episode today because, yes, we haven't put out an episode this year, but you're going to get a few of them coming up very soon after January, 200 and something goes away. Nobody has the capacity right now to learn anything. But we have an amazing guest today. So this guest was recommended by our fabulous Joanna Jenkins, Dr. Joanna Jenkins. She said, I have someone that I know you will connect with, and she is doing some amazing things, and I am always looking out for places and spaces for Latina, the Latinx community to be thriving in and to say, you know what, our ancestors would be so damn proud of where we are at today, which is funny that we're having today's episode because I had that feeling just yesterday. I was like, damn, my ancestors will be hella proud of me, but they'd also give me some food and then be like, Mija, you're too skinny, you know, all this stuff. But not to fall into the stereotypes Latin community, but that is my family. So I want to introduce Bianca Neal. I want to have her come on our episode, our show. Bianca, if you want to turn on your camera, open up your mic. And well, Dr. Bianca Neal, I just saw your name. I apologize for that. Thank you so much for joining us and being part of our community. I know Dr. Jenkins, she just had so many amazing things to say about you. So
She
thank you and
did.
welcome to our episode.
Thank you so much for having me. Yes, I actually was with her this week. We're on a visiting scholar session with Rutgers University, and so it's such a pleasure to be here, to be connected to both of you, and I've had a wonderful time chatting with the both of you beforehand. So excited about this interview.
Yes. So, Dr. Bianca, so we got two questions that we always like to ask because we want to get to know people better. And so, however you answer these two questions is completely up to you. But yes, the first one is like, what are those top dimensions that are important to you at this moment? Because in our world, we love to send that identity wheel and have you think for like 4 hours before you answer it, right? So just for this one question, right? And then the second part is, what are some of those stereotypes that come up, when you think about those identities that you lead with at the moment? So.
Yeah, so it's interesting. So yes, I did have my moments where I'm like, okay, where is this? I did find the organization, not the organization, the external dimensions, faith and spirituality, and then geographic location, and recreational habits. I say that because I say those three, those top three, because there's other ones, of course. But faith and spirituality, because I feel like that's how I persist in this world. I know we talked about, you mentioned well-being, and like you talked about like we're burnt out. And so for me, it's about like grounding myself, getting centered, like, okay, what's really going on? And trying to really be in tune with, in alignment with like my purpose, my calling. And then it's interesting, but geographic location is very influential in my life. I live in Austin, Texas, and we are very innovative here. We're very caring. I'm originally from Los Angeles, so I know there's a difference. Not to say much, I love Los Angeles, but I know when I came here, I was just embraced with love, and people like to share. People are caring. It's changing. The culture's changing as people are moving from other places. But genuinely, like people are very innovative. They want to collaborate, and so it's really played a part in my identity and really shaping how I even, like you mentioned, like how I show up. I also mentioned recreational habits because I like to one when I feel the energy, but I do like to work out, so physical activity, athlete, and then movies. I love movies, and for me, the two things I really like, the movies I love are the ones about love and also the hero stories, the ones where good overcomes evil. And so it kind of like spurs me on. It's like, I want to change the world. Yes, we can change the world. And so those are the three places.
So first of all, you can't leave us without that because that was deep. That was deep. I was like, wait a minute now. I don't think we've ever heard geographic location
No.
or recreational on this show. So you were the first. Okay. And second of all, I mean, I'm so curious though, because you came from somewhere else where you felt this creative shift. But what, I mean, did it come at a timely place for you? I mean, has it been something that, that you've longed for? How did you know?
It's so interesting. So I went to USC. I graduated from the University of Southern California in the film program. And so the next step for me, I came to UT Austin, University of Texas at Austin, to pursue my Master's of Fine Arts. And there's a totally different shift in regards to creativity. So I think, like, obviously USC, it's really the hotbed of Hollywood filmmaking, very connected. And there's like it's you know there's like a very a teamwork mentality. Everyone's working together as a team. When you come to UT Austin, it's the at the time when I came, of course I'm referencing both the time periods, but it was very focused on documentary filmmaking,
very focused on, you know, like bringing social causes to the forefront. And so there was just a shift. I will say this is something I didn't mention, but it was a cultural shock when I came here. What I do love about LA, and Houston reminds me of LA sometimes, that the multiculturalism, the culture when it relates to not only like people groups, but also the culture of like the food, the language. I miss that. That was significant. That was like a huge shift. The kindness made up for the shift, but it took me a while to really get situated. And I will share that Austin is growing in the area of diversity. It's interesting because there's like some amazing change makers, like some amazing organizations like Con Mi Madre, the African American Leadership Institute, the Saul Paul Foundation, the African American Youth Harvest Foundation. But there's a lot of challenges because we do find that a lot of, especially African American, the African American population leaves Austin because of the lack of culture, the lack of people. So there's room to grow in that area. But
Funny
we
you say
are
that.
moving forward.
Funny you say that, because I remember getting the offer and also was like, I don't think so. I was like, where I'm supposed to go? They was like, so here's the domain if you're interested. I was like, this is it? What I'm supposed to do with this? And I was laughing because I was like, I really, you know, I'm a creative person. I like innovation. It was like, I feel in the vibe, but where my community yet? I said, can't do
Yeah.
it.
And you know what? There is something to say about having that community. And Dr. Bianca, kudos to you for finding that. Like, I love that one of the things with the movies that you said, I love the good versus evil, the love and the spirituality. Like, it all exudes like this positivity and this joy. And you're like, you know what? Like, it may not look like what I'm used to, but there's an opportunity here for me to find something that I can like connect with. And sure, you're very much a bridger in that sense as well. And so I love that part of it. And because community and finding that it's so important. I mean, I've always been a community builder. That's who I am. But I didn't realize like how much I was gonna miss my food until I moved to the United Kingdom. No shade, y'all. The food's amazing. Okay, but it's not mi comida. And I didn't know, like, for the first time in my life, I considered Houston my home. I've never called it home, even though I was born and raised there. I would always say, oh yeah, I was born and raised in Houston. But I never called it my home until recently. And I'm like, okay, I have my connection. But I love that. And thank you for that gift because I think what I'm going to take from just your introduction is to find ways to still find that like joy and that love and the opportunities. Like where are the gaps and where are the opportunities for that? As opposed to saying like, oh no, I gotta go home. Like, so thank you for that. So I'm curious to know on your identities that you resonate with. What are some of the stereotypes that you have faced, either in like your workplace or home, having those identities?
You know, it's interesting because that was actually one of the primary reasons why I initially went into filmmaking as an undergrad, is because of the stereotypes. I think the being a maid in Hollywood was a very predominant stereotype growing up. And so I was like, this needs to be combated. We need to make other roles, other images popular. And I believe we have grown in representation, especially of Latinas in film, but we have a long way to go because even if you look at the popularity of some of the films, you know, they're still cast as maids. And it's a big deal. I think sometimes as I go into different rooms, I'm often the only Latina in the room, sometimes the only woman in the room, sometimes the only woman of color in the room. And so it's really chiseled me to have to either assert myself or to develop myself to where I know that people's ignorance cannot contribute to my identity. And that is, it took maturity. It wasn't like a, you know, it wasn't a day-long process. It was like probably, you know, years of a journey of like, I'm always in the room by myself and feeling uncomfortable. And then being like, okay, you know what? There's something different about here, but it's not just, if I'm here, I have to create a space for others. And really, well, I know we'll talk about lead, but really that's the trait or the mindset that I tried to share with others and to, especially to the young Latinas who I've mentored, is, you know, I know we feel uncomfortable. I know we don't feel like we belong sometimes, but it's really important for us to take what we do have and to multiply it and to create space for others. And I know that the pressure of having to create that space is not their responsibility. It's not my responsibility either. So I do it with grace of like, hey, this is what you're interested in. You know, create the space if you have that capacity. If you don't, just continue to excel and other people will join you.
I'm so glad you said that because I think oftentimes, especially Gen Z has kind of rejected this whole piece of like, listen, I don't have to give everything to everything to make sure that, there's space for others. They should know that once I'm here, the space is here. And that powerful confidence to say, listen, I'm already here and I'm going to be excellent at this thing, and the person behind me is going to be excellent at this thing is such a shift in mindset. Of like, I have to do so great that so that the next person gets the opportunity. It takes the pressure off. It's like, no, I'm here and I'm going to be that representation. And my expectation is that someone like me is going to come back. I mean, that has my demographics, is going to come in here and be behind me because that I'm going to do so well that I'm going to make it attractive. And to me, I love that lens because it takes off the pressure of lifting up and not being authentic and showing up a certain way with perfectionism and all those types of things. So.
And I feel like also it gives like I know someone like me permission to not feel the pressure, like share to Sherry's point, feel the pressure to do, because I'm always constantly thinking based on how I grew up, it's like we always help everyone. Like even we you put yourself aside and you help everyone. I'm having to work through this with my mother. I'm like, yes, mother, matriarch, yeah, I know you love this role, but you don't have to. Like people are grown. Cheryl loves it when I say this. They're grown. They can do it themselves. I told my kid the other day, but he's not grown, and I'm like, you're grown. You should do this. But I think like for me, I need someone to give me that permission to say, just be you. There's an opportunity here. You're welcome to join. You're welcome to partake in it. Take what you need, give what you need, but just be you. And I love that. Like I love that. So thank you.
So
Thank
let's
you. It's
get
interesting
into
you
it.
say that.
Yeah,
Oh,
go
go ahead.
ahead. Go ahead.
I was gonna say what you said really resonates. I was actually so the Spurs, the NBA five-time championship team, San Antonio team, they have a Spurs, it's called Spurs Community Leadership Institute, and this session is for women and really who are making high impact. In Texas, mostly South Texas, Austin, and just very down south. And it's interesting because we were had the same a similar discussion. We have weekly sessions, and we talked about that notion of like having to do things, the inclination of like I have to jump in. And it was a group of diverse women, so not just I would say racially, ethnically diverse women. So it wasn't just one group, but it talked about how like in that conversation we became aware like I didn't know that was like. But personally, you know, a trait that we have was like we always want to help, we always want to jump in, which is kind of why some of us, I would say including me, are sometimes get burnt out at times because it's like, oh, I have to do this. And you know, it's kind of like, well, I'm skilled at doing it, so I should be able to do it, so I should do it. And letting go. So thank you for sharing, Liz, because that really just reminded me. I'm like, oh my gosh, that's exactly what we were talking about. So it was just right on, yeah, right on.
So people are curious about that program. And so wait, how did you even get connected with something like that? Because this is my first time hearing, and I'm a sports person. Not that I'm rooting for the Spurs, but
No worries. No, actually, last year they pulled last actually a friend posted on LinkedIn. LinkedIn is a great source of you know, sharing information. And so a good friend who lives in San Antonio mentioned it to me, She's like, hey, they're looking for, you know, 30 high impact women and who want to like increase their knowledge in regards to like women's well-being. They want to have a community, they want to support each other, they want to grow. And so I applied, and thankfully I was accepted into the program. I was selected as one of 30. But it's a great program. So if anybody wants to Google it, it's the Spurs Community Leadership Institute, and they probably will have a call either in the next 6 months or within the next year, because they just started the cycle. They're in the middle of a cycle.
That's amazing. Now everybody will be like, well, what y'all talk about? Okay, we don't have time, y'all.
Well, I know let's y'all talk thinking. About Bianca's.
I was like, about to say, we got a whole nother organization.
We have our own program.
Yeah. So listen, so Dr. Bianca, so, you know, let's start with LEAD, right? Your organization is Latinas Excelling at Doctoral Degrees, and, you know, really want to give you the space to talk about the mission and vision. I know Liz and I, when we heard about it in our conversations, we were like, okay, we didn't even know we needed that, but we love that it's there.
Yes, I love it. Yes, so I'm excited. So the Latinas Excelling at Doctoral Degrees program, I founded it in partnership with Rutgers University, the Proctor Institute for Leadership, Equity, and Higher Education, with Dr. Mary Beth Gaspin. She has been a great mentor, but really, I saw the need. There's a dearth of representation of Latinas in the professorate. Approximately, there's about 2% of faculty in tenure track ranks that are Hispanic females, and only 4% in non-tenure track ranks. And so there's like very small percentage. Initially, I thought this was like a personal thing of like, I never really had, I think I had one Latina professor, like my entire collegiate journey up until getting my doctorate. And so I thought like, oh, okay, well, maybe it's because I went to a PWI, which is a predominantly white institution, or maybe it's because maybe where I lived, I didn't know. I just thought, well, you know, you don't think about things sometimes until you have time to reflect. And so then when I was doing some research for a course as I was getting my doctorate, and I was like, this is not a personal issue. This is a bigger issue. This is like other people's lives are being affected. And the reason why it's important that there are Latina professors is because there was another study conducted that showed that Latinas produce the most, they're knowledge producers of that community. And so if we don't have Latina professors and they're not producing that knowledge, they're not growing and learning. And of course, you know, the community is growing in the United States. So the Latinx community is growing exponentially. And so to keep up, we need to definitely create opportunities for Latinas, for underrepresented groups to actually excel, because we want a diverse workforce, and that's when we get the best. So
one of the things I was going to, you know, one, first of all, I appreciate that. Also the data around it, like every time you say it, it's so shocking. And my mind immediately goes to, when was the last time I had a Latina professor? And I can't recall one person in 4 years of college, and even in my advanced education, the only time that I can recall a name is when I started getting my certifications. Mm-hmm. And when I got my certifications, like with DEI and those types of things, I can recall, even in our coaching, when there was some representation. And so that startles me. That's very startling. That's very startling. So, I mean, I think you and Liz had a great discovery call. I know you had a question, Liz. I wanted to make sure you had to get a chance to answer.
Yeah, no, I mean, Dr. Bianca, like, thank you for bringing that up, because I saw it growing up, but like you, I didn't know it was a problem until I actually, like, now that I'm reflecting back and I know what I know, and I've done so much, like, my own self-discovery, my own development, I kind of almost trusted blindly my parents, right? And I followed their example, which I'm not saying there was anything wrong with that. They did the best that they could. But I also now recognize and acknowledge that they were protecting me, right? They wanted me to be accepted in spaces where It was there was a dominant group, you know, and I went to University of Houston, a very diverse city. And again, there were hardly any women professors, and I don't have any Latina professors that I had. I only remember one Latina teacher in high school that I had. And it's like, how are we ever going to show how important education is for our community when we don't have representation, when we don't see that, oh, like, look how, you know, we how can we be world changers? And yeah, our communities are growing very, very fast in Texas and down in South US. And you know, how do we shift even from like an economic status, right? Like education. Yes, I'm a big believer in and having organizations think about their recruiting tactics and hiring people with you know, no degrees or thinking about it that way. But at the same time, you know, education and university gives you certain tools that are different than real world experiences. Neither one is good or bad, or they're it's just a different tool. And so thank you for bringing that up, because I think that's just that is so important. And but one question that I did have is on our discovery call, you mentioned community and why it is so important to create a community, especially a community that serves Black and brown women who are navigating this process prior to graduate school. And can you share with us, like, why, what makes this so important to create community?
So again, I think so it's interesting because it's twofold for me. It's like looking at the literature, looking at the research, looking at other people's work, which I think is something that I definitely, you know, gleaned is like, you know what, community is really important. And especially with, you know, I've learned that you just can't say things like personally, you know, I have my personal opinions, but then there's also bigger situations, bigger problems, bigger things that are going on. And so I learned from the literature that community was really important. But I also saw once we actually had those sessions, we're actually on our second cohort. We'll be launching our third, probably within the next few months. But what I learned is like every session, they're like, thank you so much for this space. Thank you so much for this time so we can share. Thank you so much because so we can learn. The way that it's set up is we actually have professors coming in, sharing their journey, sharing their life story experience in higher education, of course. And then talking about either a skill or some kind of career preparation. And so it's interesting because it creates just like this network of community. And to be honest, it's very challenging if you're doing this on your own. The lack of knowledge, you need to be in community to glean that knowledge. And community is not only important for just relationships, but it's also important to be able to access knowledge and to be able to exchange information. And the goal really is to change the trajectory of usually in higher education culture, it's been noted as being very competitive. And so my goal is to create a culture where there's community, there's support, there's collaboration, because we want to, you know, change and disrupt that normal cycle of competitiveness that is actually can be destructive.
So glad that we're talking about it. I mean, I think to hear that there's programs available like this, and given in our time where, different programs or things that's been in existence that help support diversity are being eliminated, like, affirmative action and any of those things where you're thinking about, hey, how do you go about, really creating a place where people can dwell and really develop their skills and have really thought leadership, which is embodied in thought diversity, right? Which, is demographics and all types of other identities. So glad that your program is there. I wanted to just at least ask, like, how can our listeners and community support your organization? Because I'm sure there's somebody feeling very passionate about this and feeling seen at this moment who could really utilize or want to figure out how they could be, a support. Because the one thing I'll say about our community, we don't miss, we when we find some passion, we are gung ho. We just get going. We're like, Okay, this is happening. Okay, who we need to call to get involved in here? So I'm sure somebody's feeling that spirit right now.
Yes, definitely. Well, really, what's really important is to get connected, connect us with more institutions, connect us with, if you have the flyer, you can reach out to me, I can give you a flyer, but to really get the information out there. Interestingly enough, I've been on different scholarship committees as a juror. And one of the challenges I find on the opposite side is sometimes we don't have enough applicants. Thankfully, we have a lot of very qualified applicants for this. Thankfully, it's like amazing the type of people that apply for this program. Very competitive. We actually had someone from like literally, we had two of our cohort members were in Spain, or two of them were in Spain. One of them was in Hawaii. We have them all across the US as well. But sharing the knowledge is so important. So there are people here out there who may be struggling, who may be like, I'm trying to do this myself. I don't know where to go. I don't know what to do. So sharing and promoting it. And my email address, I'll give it for the podcast that I host as well, is conganaspodcast@gmail.com. And so sharing your story is important as well. If you're a professor and you want to share your story, let me know, because I'd love to like share your story. And I think that's where the focus for me is the intergenerational knowledge transfer. That's what I call it, is kind of like passing the baton and saying, okay, this is what I went through. This is how I made it. And then having young people glean and say, okay, I can make it too. Okay. These are the tools. These are the tips. So promotion, sharing your story, contacting me, you know, encouraging people to apply. I think a lot of times what I found is that people apply when they're supported by their peers as well. So if you're in a position of leadership, encourage those people who you feel, and this is probably just generally, encourage people who you see potential, because a lot of times, especially as we're growing, we don't know we have the potential to do certain things. And so when we hear from somebody, we're like, oh, I might take notice. There are so many of the stories that I heard of the Latina professors that I interviewed, as well as the people who are actually in the program who share, oh, well, my professor said, you know, maybe you want to look into research. Maybe you want to be a professor. Maybe you should look into this program. So being an influential person in someone's life can be very powerful.
I love this. I love this so much because, and I'm just reflecting back on my own experience, and it's like the tías that I never had that hadn't gone through it, right? I'm always going to go to my own family and say, hey, like, how did you do this? But they hadn't gone through it. They didn't know how to navigate the systems. I mean, I was in the position where I was reading medical records for my family and translating services and whatever. So, you know, I was the grown up in at a very, very young age. And so to have had that and to show someone like, oh, you can do this, and it doesn't have to look like everyone else. You can have your own unique journey, but still follow those dreams, because oftentimes it was like, maybe I got into something that didn't resonate, wasn't in line with me, but I got into it because I was seeking the safety and security that my parents wanted me to have, you know, growing up. And so they're like, well, that's why you were an accountant for 20 years. You know? I call myself a recovering accountant. But, you know, you mentioned your podcast, Con Ganas. I know.
Yes.
Everybody's like, oh my gosh, this girl. I still love my spreadsheet, so. Tell us, so is your Con Ganas podcast, is it about stories and education? Can you tell us a little bit more about your podcast?
Yes, it's interesting you say that, because right after I said like the you know, the Gmail address, I was like, I don't know if I've been inclusive, because people may not know what Con Ganas means.
That's so true. Thank you. I didn't either. I was like, oh, I know what it means.
And to be honest, I didn't want to ask, because I was like, I don't know where to put the accent on that GA. I don't know. I was like, I think it's over the N, but I'm not sure. So I'm so glad Liz said it, because I was like, I don't know. So for all those out there, welcome. Yes. Are we going to put it in this caption?
Yeah, exactly. Yes. So con ganas, really, when you break it down, it means to do with heart, or to do with like all your effort. And so the reason why I call it con ganas is because when I was, you know, navigating, I was like, this is not an easy journey. I was literally just talking to somebody who recently graduated, is a doctor now, and she was like, I couldn't wish the dissertation process on anybody. It is intense. And so, but so it's funny because I, yeah, so it goes back to con ganas, doing it heartily. It takes a lot of effort and to do it with heart. So it's not something that you just do with a lot of, you know, effort. It's with heart as well. And so anyways, to speak more about the podcast, the focus this season is on Latinas in the professorate. So they share their journeys with me. They're very open, which is amazing. They share their ups, they share their downs. And really what I've done is actually gone from like the beginning of like where they started, like their growing up environment, wherever they want to start, their neighborhood environment, all the way to them becoming a professor, so that we can see, okay, what's the journey like for them? What were the decisions? I will give a shout out to some institutions because UC Berkeley and Vanderbilt, I heard those a few times. The McNair Scholars Program, I heard that often. The TRIO Program, I heard those often. So I found that programs that were either very supportive of or instrumental in their journeys, that, you know, kind of wanted just to give a shout out because I thought it was interesting that they reoccurred so many times. But I noted that there was not much support, just like you mentioned, Liz, about, you know, asking your family members. It's like your family members love you. That's what they can do. They can love you. They can provide for you, you know, encourage you, you know, for the most part. But then in regards to the knowledge and passing on that information, that's where there's a gap. And so that's what this podcast really does, is it reaches that gap where it's like, I don't know what to do, because there's specific things, like, unless, you know, in your higher academic area, you're like, okay, you may have to move across the country for your career. That's not like normal. You know, sometimes if you're a teacher, you're like, oh, I'm going to get a teacher where I live. I'm going to become a teacher where I live, or I'm going to become an electrician where I live. You're never considering, I'm gonna have to move halfway across the country to a freezing environment, and my family's on the other half of the country. And those are the things we discuss. And there's, you know, several reoccurring themes as well like that.
And that's hard. Moving to another place, you don't do that. Ooh, I mean, my mother's still mad at me that I went to Africa 14 years ago.
For sure. We don't say it from Mama D. We don't talk about
No, she gets mad. She says, oh, but the only thing that she says that she loves is Sharita. So, yeah, Sharita, you know, that's it. And I love, you know, like I love the knowledge sharing part of it, because I always remember my dad, I would come to him with, I'm like, Papa, like, you know, I have this and this, and I have all these stuff going through. That sounds rough, mija. Pues échale ganas, meaning like, give it all you got, like work hard. You're like, okay. And sometimes when I'm sitting here and I'm, you know, doing really hard work, or it's a really hard season in my life, I'm like, okay, mija, échale ganas, you know, like, you got it. I'm telling myself that nowadays. So I love it. You have your own community of échale ganas with support and backups, yes, and knowledge sharing. I absolutely Lutely love. Now, I know we had our last question here, but I'm gonna go off base real quick, because when we first talked, you didn't have the Dr. Bianca Neal. That's why we're like calling you Dr. Bianca. So tell us about your own journey of completing your doctorate, and congratulations.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I really appreciate that question because it really helps you reflect. My dissertation focus was changemakers whose work intersects with racial equity and social justice. So I really had the opportunity to delve into people's lives and their lived experiences. It was a great journey. Honestly, I look back and I had some great supporters. I attended St. Edward's University. It's a Hispanic serving institution. And I know there's, you know, some talk, if you look at the literature, you'll be like, there's challenges about like what a Hispanic serving institution is and how they serve it. But truthfully, I really feel like St. Edward's does a great job of really supporting their students. I benefited from it. I know as I mentioned earlier, Dr. Joanna Jenkins and I were in the same program, the Rutgers Visiting Scholars Program through the Proctor Institute. That was helpful. Again, that's community. I had a great mentor, Dr. Mary Beth Gassman. I really tapped into several people. And so I think my nature, I'm learning myself, you know, my focus was on, my degree was in leadership in higher education with the focus on organizational leadership and change. And so I saw that as opportunity to use that, whether it's in corporate spaces, nonprofit spaces, higher education, organizational leadership and change is needed everywhere right now, especially. But it was hard. I won't lie about that, but I navigated through support. I like to say that my husband played a huge part. I had, you know, family, kind of like Liz, when you talked about, like, my mom was kind of like, what are you doing? Why are you always writing? Why are you always reading? Like, okay, when are you going to be done? And I'm like, I just got to get it done, mom. I just got to get it done. I just got to move through. And so it was a great journey. And yeah, I'm so thankful that I made it. And and it's interesting, because I also looked through, I interviewed 11 people, and I also looked up their responses through a lens of intersectionality. And I think it's really key, because when we don't look at intersectionality, we don't catch the nuances, which is why what you are sharing is so important, because so many times we think that experiences are all the same, but there's nuances in the experiences, and sometimes there's shared experiences in the nuances. And that's what I found. I also discovered that some of the most resilient leaders I did a qualitative study, and I also did it's a smaller sample of people, but in their stories I found that those who had a faith-based identity and spiritual lens were able to persist in the midst of adversity, because their identity was not based in the external environment and what people thought about them, but more so on a higher power.
That's so, wow.
It's God, true. God. It's true.
You know what I'm about to say, Sarah, right? You know what I'm about to say, like, that divine intervention always comes up on this podcast. It always does. I was just talking to a group of women, that we have a community group here, and we were talking about your own expectations and your own value system that is based on external factors versus the internal. And it's like, when you have a value system, or when you have your story or your goals based on external things, it never works. And you don't feel authentic doing it. You always feel like, well, what else, like, what if, or what else is missing? Or, you know, or you quickly go through it, and then you're like, well, there's the end goal, I made it. And then you're like disappointed because you got there, and you're like, oh, that's it? But I love that. I really do love bringing that internal side of you as part of your journey, and really thinking about not what you should be doing, or like, this should be important, or what if this happens, but as opposed to be like, deep down in my heart, deep down in my soul, like, what is important to me and my own. And even if you are a caregiver, even if you are a parent, like, I definitely would, because many of the community members are caregivers and parents, and they're like, yeah, family should be important. And as a Latina, I can resonate with that, because that was drilled into me. La familia es todo importante, right? Like, the family is the most important thing. Actually, like, I don't sign up for that. And I had never done that, but I think how I thought I should be moving through the world versus how I want to move through the world was very contradictory. And I had to set those boundaries in that new value system that was true to me, as opposed to what my mom wanted, and being okay, like, you know, telling my mom, be like, this is it, mom. You could like it or not. That was hard.
Yeah.
It is hard. Even as you're saying it, I'm like, oh my gosh.
You're sweating.
It is hard because the good part is, you know, family is so strong and there's a lot of love. And the challenges, though, is when you're called to be something different or to lead. And so you have to break the mold, which is very uncomfortable. And so you have to, it's not that you're necessarily like saying, like, I don't value family. It's just that I value what's inside of me, and I have to be authentic to what's inside of me to fully manifest it. And though my family may not understand it at this time, they eventually will, because, you know, I believe a good majority of us are driven by purpose and calling, and there's something inside of you that keeps driving you. And so the closer you get to that, the more aligned you are with yourself, the more comfortable you feel with yourself, the more confidence you have, and that attracts people. But it takes a lot to get there. It's not natural. It's not
no, it's and you not... feel like a fraud oftentimes. But I love you do in both on all worlds you do. But I think if you like to your point, and I'm so proud of you, Dr. Bianca Neal, for such an achievement. And being your own change maker, you know, you're like, you change that trajectory and that legacy, and you're showing little girls like, hey, you can do this. Like, yeah, you can have a different background than what you see and still reach those dreams and have those change makers. Because I always love to ask the question, and if I can add one more question, Shara, if I may. What would your younger self tell you today?
Whew, I'm gonna cry. But my younger self would be like, wait, you have to ask the question again because I so got emotionally taken over.
Oh, give you a little space to breathe. What would your younger self tell you today?
Okay. My younger self would tell me today. My younger self would tell me today, like, oh my gosh, you made it. I'm so proud of you. This is so cool.
I love it. Yeah. I love this so much. My goal this year is bringing out the inner child in everybody. So I love this. Thank you. Thank you for sharing this.
Yes.
Yeah, I love it. Thank you so much.
Well, Dr. Bianca, listen, I the funniest part about that question, Liz brings that question every once in a while, and it gets everybody teary-eyed, so welcome to the club. But it's funny, because I reflected on this question, because Liz made me, like, a while ago, just, you know, answer this question. And I'm telling you, that's exactly it. Like, you did it, girl. Like, I wasn't sure, but I'm glad you did it.
Exactly. I'm like, I feel such joy now. I'm like, wow. Yeah, I feel excited. Thank you.
And also, the other part of it more recently I've added to it is, you know what? I didn't even know that that's what I wanted to do.
Yes.
Right? That's my new part, right? It's like, oh, I'm so glad you did it. But it's like, I didn't even know that's what we wanted to do. But hey, you know what I mean? It's like,
yes.
So listen, we're going to close up, Dr. Bianca, because nothing brings us more joy than leading on this moment of reflection. And so we always like to at least close out in a reflection for our audience. So typically we use this time to just say, what are some of those takeaways or something that came up for you that we wanted to just bring back to the present for our audience? And so I'll go first, because I'll give you some spaces, you know, Liz trying to get them tears out of you with her Oprah version, you know, she just show off. I'm just saying. I love her. So yeah, from a reflection standpoint, you know, you all didn't get to hear our pre-conversation, but one of the big things that I took away, Dr. Bianca brought to my attention, was how with those, the data points, that there's such a lack of representation in this space, and that it really brought forward how we spend so much time talking about workforces and how, you know, there's still homogeneous spaces that haven't had people of color in them to infuse something, you know, of more value into those spaces. And when I think about education, it really hit me, right, to say that, you know, we're still having firsts, right? Sometimes I miss it, right? You know, being the only, you're in that space, but sometimes you don't recognize how many firsts that we are still having in Black and Brown communities, and specifically Black and Brown women communities. And so it's really important to just lift up and take a moment and think about, where are those spaces that we need more of us, and whatever that us is in those spaces, and what can we do to support efforts that's trying to do that? And the researching piece is so important, I think,
because until Dr. Joanna brought it to our attention about the what that impacts when you don't have people of color researching and being a part of that creative product or that creative movement or that thought leadership, you're missing so many things. And so the solutions don't typically include you. And top of mind for me is like medical and health and filmmaking and why Netflix needed a golden Netflix, right? Like, why is it a golden Netflix? It just needs to be Netflix. P.S. Go look up golden Netflix. You'll know what we're talking about. But it's like, why is it that it always has to be so separate and we can't find our space to say it's just all of us, you know? So that's my reflection. I wanted to pass it to Liz or Dr. Bianca, which whoever wanted to go.
I'll go, yeah. And I'll let Liz close it out because I know she probably has some powerful words too. Thank you for sharing that, because even with you sharing that, it really challenged me to really think about this space that you've created. Honestly, I feel welcome. I feel special. I feel honored because you've created this space. Even making the transition to Dr. Bianca Neal has been a journey. And it's interesting because there's a lot of debates of like, oh, you know, after you get a doctorate, are you gonna be called doctor? But I think there's a significance in being called Dr. Bianca Neal and being, you know, less than a certain percentage of actually who have attained a doctorate in this area. And so the representation is important. I was at a school recently through my work with the Saul Paul Foundation, and we were at a campus and we were talking, and then they introduced me as Dr. Bianca Neal, and all the kids were like, oh, wow. And so it was like, oh, you know what? This means something. It's not just a title. It means something to the communities that I'm in front of. And it means that I can do it too. And so thank you for doing that. That was very special. Thank you for welcoming me in. And thank you for your excellence. Thank you for the work that you do. That's one of my core values I was going to share, but excellence, you exude excellence, the way that you prepare the podcast beforehand, the preparation beforehand, the graphic design, the promotion. So thank you for being excellent. Thank you for choosing to be present. And I really appreciate that. That's what really some of my takeaways that I received from this session.
Okay, now you got me back. You got me back. Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Bianca, so much for being on our show, for being here. And to all of our listeners that are out there, like, keep finding that joy. I keep saying this, and I'm going to say this until we are done with this podcast, which might not be ever. We'll see. Because we love it so much. But, you know, keep having that joy. Find that inner child inside of you, because it doesn't, everything, there isn't a timeline for anything. You can take a pause, you can shift directions. To Shara's point in her younger self, right, saying, I didn't even know this was possible. Yeah, keep surprising yourself. You know, take yourself out of that mundane and keep surprising yourself. And échale ganas. Give it all you got. Give it all you got, because people are watching. People are watching, and the people that are important are watching, and it's all that younger generation. So échale ganas. All right, y'all. See y'all in a few weeks. Well, next week, I guess. Next week. When the episode, follow us on morethanwordspodcast.com and go listen back to all of our episodes from 2023. I had to look at what year it was, y'all. listen to our episodes from 2023. We had some amazing guests, and we have some amazing guests lined up for 2024. So we'll see y'all later.